Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's VIP Studio Visit. The Captain will be back starting the first week of May. To order your tickets before they are all sold out, go to HowieCarShow.com and click on the VIP tab. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome. Happy Friday. We did it. We made it. It actually felt like a pretty quick week until the Joe Biden speech, and then everything kind of slowed down a little bit. But we are here, and we have plenty to get to. I thought that Biden and his team, I thought they were going to pull him back a little bit after Thursday night. Or was it Thursday night?
Yeah, it only feels like it was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, it does. It feels like it was so long ago. I thought they were going to put him out there, and then we were going to get a nice reprieve for maybe a couple of months while he stoked the fire and took long naps. But it does seem that he's on a little bit of a kick. I don't know if they thought he did a really good job with the speech. The ratings would say otherwise. And by the way, we need to be very clear here. We need to give you the facts. And like Joe Biden, I have a love for the numbers, especially these numbers. TV ratings for presidential addresses. And I know most of you have heard this already, but I wanted to kick off the show with this because it's Friday and there's no shortage of good news on this Friday. All right. President Trump 2017, 48 million. President Trump 2018, 46 million. President Trump 2019, 46 million. 800,000, and President Trump 2020, around 37 million. President Biden 2021, 11,600,000. It's not good. It's not good. And as Donald Trump Jr. put it pretty perfectly, he wrote a but he's the most popular president in history.
Fatal fact, better.
Wink, wink. But yeah, so that was the ratings. They're saying that once they add in, you know, the YouTube and whatever, it's going to add a couple million. I was on YouTube. I actually watched it on there. And I was keeping a pretty close eye on the different streams and how many people were watching. It was not in the millions. But if they want to give him an extra 3 million, that's fine. That's fine with me. He's not even going to reach, you know, 20 million. So either way, what's done is done.
I'm pretty sure we're just waiting for the viewing ballots to roll in for the next week before we get to the actual number.
Exactly. You know, 800 million people started tuning in at 3 a.m. the night of the speech. So we might hear about that later. But I don't know. Maybe they think he's doing a good job. The approval ratings for his speech from CNN were very low when you consider that the people who tend to watch these things are Democrats, if it's a Democrat president, Republicans, if it's a Republican president. So you're dealing with a friendly audience. You know, it's like my audience here. I'm guessing that most of you, when you tweet me and say, Grace, you're doing a great job, it's a friendly audience. You want to like what I'm saying. And even with that being said, with this warm audience, as we call it in the biz, he only managed to get, I think from CNN, like a 51% or maybe it was 53% approval rating, which is lower than Donald Trump. And that's kind of amazing because Joe Biden ran on being a unifier and Donald Trump ran on being a renegade. So the fact that even Trump managed to poll better than Biden, and then you add in the fact that the media already fudges these polls as much as they possibly can, then that's another element. The reason I'm talking about this, because I know you guys are like, Grace, come on, you talked about this yesterday. But the reason I want to discuss this is because he's not done yet. He went out and he did, because the 100-day mark is historic. And it's a really good marker for, you know, what you've accomplished thus far and what what the future holds in terms of your presidency. So President Biden did a an interview with Craig Melvin from NBC, and we have clips of that. He also did a drive-in. It was in Atlanta, I believe, right, Jared?
Yes, with Reverend Dr. Senator Raphael Warnock.
All right, so he was up there, and the video, I know how he always says, lead with your best sound, and I've come to realize that that is excellent advice. But this, I have to kind of set up. It's not really sound that if you just hear it, you'll understand. So let me break this down for you. I never watched the show Black Mirror. I think I've seen one episode, but I have to imagine this is what the episodes were like. It was very surreal to watch. Joe Biden is out on stage at the podium with Jill. He looks like a wax figure. He looks like a robot. And he's out there and he's, you know, giving his speech at this drive-in. I'm not sure if people were outside their cars. I'm sure there was a lot of honking. That's what tends to happen.
I'm sure they were in their cars with their masks on.
With the engine running, you know, all those carbon emissions we're trying to kill. We're going to take away your hamburger, but you can keep your car running when you're watching Joe drone on and on. So he's up there and he finishes the speech and, oh, yeah, it's wonderful. All these people. Woo, beep, 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 beep. By the way, for those people, I'm worried about you if that's what you're doing on a beautiful day in Atlanta is watching Joe Biden talk about climate change, but that's okay, to each their own. So everyone's beeping, honk, honk, beep, beep. And Joe wants to leave the podium and he can't find his mask. And this is where it gets, I would say this is where it gets interesting, but this is where it gets so, so sad. He can't find his mask. Now, this is a man who just the other day looked Peter Alexander in the eye. And when Peter said, if we don't have to wear masks outside, why did you wear one when walking out here? And he said, so you can watch me walk back in without one. In a kind of Fonzie type of, you know, ba-dum-boom-psh comedian way that he does. It wasn't funny. It wasn't a good line, but whatever. Whatever makes him feel good. He had his aviators on, so he was feeling kind of sassy. And he just said this the other day, that you can go out without your mask on. And since then, we've seen him picking dandelions outside with Dr. Jill with a mask on. And then he's at this outdoor drive-in rally. Again, beautiful day. Mask on. So he takes his mask off. He can't find it at the end of the speech. Rather than just walk away and maybe show America, hey, remember how I said that thing about not having to wear your masks? Well, I'm going to send a message. I'm not going to wear my mask outside, like I told you, you could do 48 hours ago. Instead, he's determined. He's determined to find his mask. And he doesn't leave the podium. In fact, he just keeps looking. He goes through some of his folders, some of his binders. He starts screaming that he can't find a mask. Dr. Jill comes up. She starts looking through the binders. And eventually someone just hands them a mask. But I want to play this cut here. This is Joe Biden at the Georgia rally, cut 11.
Looking for my mask. I'm in trouble.
I'm looking for my mask. I'm in trouble.
He leaned into the microphone to say that.
Oh, of course, because it's such a good line. He's no one thinks Joe is funnier than Joe. You know, he's the only person who finds themselves more hilarious than Joe Biden finds himself is Kamala Harris, because she gives herself some real laughs. But anyway, when I saw that video, I was like, wow, this administration is a mess. It's
Oh, yeah.
And the number one comment I saw from people was, he can't find his mask, and yet he's in charge of the nuclear codes. It's a scary thought. It's a Friday, so I'm choosing to kind of make a light of it because I'm just cruising into the weekend like all of you. But don't get me wrong, it's scary. And then the other thing I want to talk about, I wrote about this in my last piece. He says, I'm in trouble, and I just want one journalist, you know? I'm not asking for people to be like gumshoe detectives and really, you know, Bob Woodward this situation. I just want some of the basic questions to be asked. Is that so much to ask? I'm not saying everybody's going to be like Howie Carr and be, you know, hey, and asking like the tough questions or, you know, requesting FOIAs or anything like that. But when the guy keeps saying over and over again, I'm going to get in trouble. I'm going to be in a lot of trouble. Can someone say, who are you going to be in trouble with, Joe? What is this trouble that you're so afraid of? And who is going to be the one getting you in it? I didn't go to journalism school. I don't think that's that hard. And then, speaking of journalism, we have plenty today for journalism in the news, by the way. I'm going to save it for another segment. But Craig Melvin did not disappoint. NBC is really, sometimes they get overlooked by, because of CNN and how bad CNN is. But NBC is, Lester Holt, Brian Williams, do not count them out because they are in this fake news game. Now, we will get to that. And then what I also want to tell you guys, this is what I'm most excited about. The speech happened, and I was kind of surprised because I was going on Twitter, and I will admit, I have curated all my social media feeds to really be a lot of great conservative commentators. It keeps me sane. But even then, sometimes people will retweet, you know, Andrea Mitchell or someone like that, and I didn't hear a lot of fawning praise. But someone, I think at Free Beacon, put together a montage of the stuff that people were saying about his speech. And oh my gosh, you guys, I know I say this a lot. It is cringeworthy. At one point, and this is how sad it is, I don't have to look up who these people are because I've been listening to them ad nauseum for 5 years now. So I just watch the speech and I know the voices. And one voice says, the grandfathery, whispery voice. And I go, Van Jones, how dare you? How dare you? It's really, really concerning. And it will make you want to puke. So that's my tease for this Friday afternoon. We have sound that will make you want to puke. We also have a lot to get to. We have a lot of great guests. Whenever I have a ton of topics I want to get to, but I also want to keep it light and fun, I always go to Chris DeGaul because he's got a great sense of humor, but he has a real feel on all of these topics. So we will have him on later. We're going to keep the lines open for this hour because my question, as we talk about the media, this is going to be a day heavy in media. As we talk about the media and I talk about these journalists, I want to know, you get Joe Biden by himself, no handlers, for 5 minutes. What question do you ask him? I have a guest on the other side, but then after that, I'll be taking all of your questions for Joe Biden. Hotels, vets, dentists all have purchased multiple units of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, which is why Eden Pure has brought back the 3-pack for this week only. You can save $200 on Eden Pure Thunderstorm air purifier 3-pack. You'll get 3 units for under $200 and save $200. I love the Eden Pure because when I cook in the house, whether it's steak or chicken, it gets rid of a lot of the smells. But Jared loves the Thunderstorm because he has allergies. And right now with the wind, I got to imagine the pollen's just going everywhere.
Oh, it's terrible. And this weekend is supposed to be especially bad. I just saw in one of the weather people. So if you have the seasonal allergies, you need to get the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. It's great. You plug it in. And what it does is it ionizes and cleans the air. It doesn't cover up odors. It actually purifies the air around you. So you are breathing clean air, which is huge if you're somebody who has trouble breathing.
The Eden Pure Thunderstorm air purifier is so small and light, you can hold it in your hand like I'm doing now and plug it right into the wall. The best part is you don't have to replace any air filters, which of course saves you time and money. Other air purifiers can cost up to $600 for just one unit. Go to EdenPure.com, click on the radio banner, and put in code word GRACE3 to save $200 for their special 3-pack. That's 3 Eden Pures. That means one for your kitchen, one for your car, one for your friend, whoever you want. EdenPure.com, radio banner, and code word GRACE3. The 3-pack is for this week only, so it ends very soon. We'll be back on the other side with Justin Manning, and then I'm taking your calls on what you want to ask President Joe Biden. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I'm very excited to talk to Justin Manning from JJ Manning Auctioneers right now because something that people have been talking about a lot is taxes on your income. But taxes also really affect the real estate market and how people buy and sell. Justin, thank you so much for joining the Grace Curley Show.
Hey, Grace, thank you for having me on. And you're on point with that. There's some looming changes to tax codes that are making people even get more aggressive, if it's possible, with buying and selling real estate right now.
Now, Justin, I'm a real estate complete newbie. I don't know a lot about it, but I think it's kind of good because I'm sure there's a lot of other people out there in their cars who feel the same way. Now, you tell me that Biden is pushing for a $500K limit on capital gains. Explain to people what that means and why people are selling so feverishly right now.
What it has to do with is a lot of the investors. Somebody might have a beautiful two or three family in and around the city and decide, hey, there's a really crappy one on the other side of the city or two or three crappy ones on the other side of the city. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to sell this one and I'm going to take the earnings I got from this and I'm going to transfer them basically through a 1031 exchange and go buy these other crappy properties, fix them up, and get them in a position where now they're, you know, good investment properties. It's almost like they're able to avoid a huge tax burden by almost trading real estate. But what it does is, one side might say, well, they're just ducking taxes. But the other side says it allows for development of properties to keep going on. And it makes it an incentive to the real estate developers to buy properties once they sell properties and then improve said properties. So it's going to kind of... Once these tax codes get passed, it's going to stall some things that actually are helping the development that's been going on right now. So a lot of the shuffling going on right now is related to developers and real estate owners and investors trying to beat these policies to the punch and either take a smaller tax whack right now or do a quick 1031 exchange now, because later on, it's almost going to make it not a desirable scenario for them.
And you also talk about the benefit of the auction right now because of how hot this market is. Kind of explain to people why they'd want to have an auctioneer instead of trying to go about this alone.
Right. And we get calls from Grace and Howie listeners all the time related to this. And they say, wait a minute, I don't even need a broker. I can sell it myself. And the point is, yes, any real estate can sell quickly right now in this market. However, the format and structure of the sale is important, and also making sure you didn't leave any money on the table is important. So those two things can be cured with the auction process, meaning that with the auction process, it is common and it is right in line with how it's done to sell it with no contingencies. And that means anything, Grace. You could have a cesspool instead of a septic system. That's going to be the buyer's responsibility. You could have a roof falling in. That's going to be the buyer's responsibility. You could have whatever the issues may or may not be. There's no contingencies in the sale, so there's a lot of certainty for a seller. And then beyond that, besides the no contingencies, right now it's so hot. Everyone knows. Everyone's talking about this fever right now because it's the lowest inventory and the highest demand for single-family homes that we've ever seen in our lives. Well, when that happens, that is the perfect storm to have the most ideal real estate auction, because what ends up happening is everyone that wants that property shows up, everyone is bidding on the same terms and level playing field, and the auction literally flushes out all the money. So at the end of an auction in a super hot market, you're guaranteed that you have truly identified what the market will pay for that asset. And it's a miraculous thing right now.
And you also mentioned, Justin, that usually there are 3 million to 7 million homes for sale in the U.S., but right now it's under 1 million. Do you see that changing anytime soon?
Well, I tell you, God bless the builders out there that are going gangbusters trying to build houses, and it's difficult, too, because the cost of construction is so high. So the builders are out there working their butts off to get houses up there. They're having a hard time because cost of construction is high. They're having a hard time because inventories are backed up. So they're the bad guys right now when they're really just trying to get houses up there as fast as they can for people. But, you know, we've never seen a moment like this, and it's like we didn't know what COVID was going to do. And one of the things COVID did is it got people to decide where they want to be for the foreseeable future.
Justin, and, what is your number if people want to reach you?
Call my man Charlie Gill at 800-521-0111 or visit jjmanning.com.
Awesome. Thank you, Justin Manning. We'll be right back on the other side. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. All right. Without further ado, I've been getting some complaints that we haven't been doing enough journalism in the news, mostly because people like the little song that goes with it. So let's do a little journalism in the news.
And now, news.
Very fake news.
I see a lot of excellent journalism being done.
Give me the press.
I'm not sure, to be honest.
How can you ask a question when you don't know the press?
He said that journalists make up stories and make up sources.
As a journalist, I don't really like being the story here.
Very fake news.
And many of your compatriots had to change the reporting, and they had to apologize, and they had to correct.
This is a golden age of journalism in a lot of ways.
Mr. Biden, what flavor did you get?
News.
Like I said, journalists, they tell us all the time that democracy dies in darkness. They cloak themselves. I saw this today somewhere, so I can't take credit, but they cloak themselves in, you know, truth and really being the defenders of our democracy. And so it makes sense that when Craig Melvin of NBC gets the chance to sit down with the president of the United States and potentially the president who has accomplished the most radical moves in his first 100 days in history, it makes sense that this is at top of his mind.
That the first family was considering adopting a cat.
Oh, yes.
Is
and that,
true?
Is true.
Can
yes.
you confirm that?
He's waiting in the wings. She is waiting in the wings.
Was this your idea, Mr. President?
No, but it's easy.
So let me get this straight. Major Biden, who's clearly had some trouble adjusting to life at the White House, now he's going to be forced to contend with a cat as well.
Well, that was part of his training. They took him into a shelter with cats.
The Secret Service.
Yeah, and he did fine.
You remember when Jimmy Fallon, who is a comedic late night host, using that term very loosely, touched Donald Trump's hair and he was eviscerated by the left because they thought he humanized Trump too much. He was a late night TV show host. Now, this is a journalist, a reporter for NBC. While there's a crisis at the border, We're still not getting back to normal from Mr. President Normalcy. And he asks about the cat. Where's the question about whether or not Joe likes pineapple on his pizza like Jen Psaki does? These are the questions we need to know. And that actually brings us to our poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by Old New England Soap. Old New England Soap makes the best wood wick soy candles that burn for up to 100 hours, as well as goat milk soaps, bath bombs, and now offering gift sets for Mother's Day and any occasion. Go to oldnewenglandsoap.com. Jared Diglio, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
What should the Bidens name the first cat? Aviator, after Joe's favorite glasses. Chip, after Joe's favorite ice cream, chocolate chip. Dandelion, after Joe's photo yesterday. Or Sergeant, keeping with their rough and tumble military theme.
I really like Chip, because when I think Joe Biden, all I think about is the pictures of him eating chocolate chip ice cream. I like Chip.
Chip is polling at 24%. Aviator is polling at 19%. 5% for Sergeant, and Dandelion is in the lead at 52%.
Ooh! Ooh, did not expect that. Okay, so my question for the listeners, because on Fridays I really do like to take a lot of calls. I like to hear what you guys think. After we've gotten this much Biden in, you know, 3 days, this is the most I've heard him talk in a long time. I've noticed that the press doesn't ask any sort of, not even tough questions, just any sort of common sense questions. Like, when are you going to the border? You know, things like that. And I want to know, you're alone in a room with Joe Biden, no handlers, none of those people who go, excuse me, Peter, please keep moving, keep it moving. Thank you, thank you. It's just you and Joe. And maybe a camera, because I'd want to see the footage. What do you ask him? What's your question? You know, have you thought about it? So my dad texts me all the time after he watches these press briefings. And he loves Peter Ducey. He thinks he does a great job. But sometimes my dad will come up with a really good question. He's like, you know what Peter Ducey should ask him? Or you know what Peter Ducey should ask Jen Psaki? And I want to know what you guys think, because I want to get some feedback. Maybe I'll use it in a column. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not above stealing it. But I have so many questions for Joe. And I want to know what you guys want to ask him as well. Now, something I do want to talk about here a little bit as well is the media, because they were fawning over this speech. I kind of thought once he got in that they would rein it back a little bit, just for optics' sake. You know what I mean? It's a little bit embarrassing at this point. It's like we know you love him, you know? It's like that girl who gets a boyfriend and spends the whole dinner talking about how sweet he is and he's so good to me and he sends me flowers and, oh, he just showers me with chocolates and gifts. It's like we get it. You like him, you know? That's the media right now. They're like, oh, he's not just good. He's amazing. I've never seen anything like it. It's like, you got what you wanted, but stop trying to sell him like he's JFK part two, okay? Because no one is buying that. Not even people who voted for him and don't regret voting for him. Even they're like, in their mindset, he's not Donald Trump. That's his greatest quality. But in the media's mindset, it's like, no, we have to convince people that he is the second coming, that he is the greatest thing ever. I want you to listen to this cut. If you're driving, pull over, because it might make you very angry. This is the media fawning over Biden's lackluster, stumbling address to Congress, cut 14.
His use of voice modulation was rather extraordinary given the television era, and it served as cover at times for unspooling an ambition in this speech that was Rooseveltian in size and scope.
Pause. I'm going to keep pausing, and I'm going to guess who it is. You can confirm for me or deny. That was Brian Williams, obviously.
Yes. Rooseveltian.
Rooseveltian. Ugh.
That like tied tragically?
These people have no shame. Have you no shame? All right, keep going.
It was really beautiful. I mean, it was beautiful. He's developing a kind of positive populism.
He also talked...
Pause there. That was Van Jones. Thank you. I'm good, guys. I'm very good at this. Okay, continue.
About the soul of America, and that was so passionate when he talked about the injustice, the knee of injustice is on the neck of Black America.
His connections to the...
Obviously, without question, as Howie Carr would say, and I'll never say her name without thinking of his voice, that is Andrea Mitchell. Right again.
People in this room, I'm not even sure if all of them are deserving of them, but he does not care. He gives to them the benefit of the doubt.
And his voice.
They talk about him like he's Jesus Christ. Some of the people aren't worthy, and that was Nicole Wallace. Some of the people are not worthy of these handshakes, but he gives. He is turning water into wine. And he's so giving. He really is. Nicole Wallace needs help. Now. Oh my God, I didn't realize I was going to get so fired up. Hold on, let me take a deep breath here. All right, continue.
The doubt?
And his voice, that Van kind Jones. Of grandfatherly, whispery voice, and the fact that it actually wasn't a big raucous crowd, let that intimacy really land.
Van Jones just said that grandfatherly, whispery voice. I don't know where to go from here. Because Jared knows
to
this.
To the bar.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Directly to the bar and chug some McConnell's Irish whiskey.
Listen, everybody. If you know me, by the time Friday comes, I am like so ready for my cocktail. But with these cuts, I am beyond ready. That to me, the fact that they're so out of touch. And here's why. they're naming the things that really drive regular Americans the most crazy. Like, everyone who called up yesterday said, I hate his whispery voice. I hate the fake grandfather act he's doing. I hate the folksy, you know, come here, you little tyke. I gotta look you in the eye. Like, they don't understand what people like. Is there more? Oh, okay, keep going.
Every single sentence had a very clear point to it. And every line of it had that Biden humility in it.
He's really
Lawrence O'Donnell.
Oh, stop the hammering.
Lawrence O'Donnell, you know, he had a real problem with Howie Ka because he thought he figured out that Howie Ka wasn't actually from Boston, even though Howie Ka talks about how he's from Maine all the time. But Larry O'Donnell didn't like that.
The original bombshell report.
Ugh.
On Howard Carr.
I forget Lawrence O'Donnell is on the air. That is how little he comes across my feed. But thanks to Jared, here he is again. All right, continue.
And he's really trying to bring the country together. It was a make America feel good night.
Ooh, that one might stump me. Can you give me the network?
ABC.
Can you rewind a little bit? I want to hear it again. Make America feel good night.
Humility in it.
He's really trying to bring the country together. It was a make America feel good night.
Ooh. I'm blanking.
She backs up George Stephanopoulos on This Week.
I don't know. Who is it?
Martha Raddatz.
Oh, Martha Raddatz. I should have known from that shaky voice. Did not get that one, huh? I was stumped.
That's all right. You still had a very solid performance.
What can I say? The most obnoxious people I know. Carl, you're next with Grace and the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Carl.
Hey, Grace. How you doing?
Good. What's going on?
If I was in a room with Joe Biden, I'd ask him what his plans are for the mental health crisis here in the United States. I really don't hear any politicians talking about it. And as a parent with a child that has mental health issues,
Do we lose you, Carl? Okay. Carl, say that last part again. We lost you for a minute.
Oh, sorry. The only thing they want to do in the hospitals is medicate everybody and just hand them pills. They don't really have any steps to help these people to, you know, adapt to their problems and learning coping skills, you know?
Right.
I'd like to know what Joe Biden's thoughts are on that, because his son is an addict. You know, a lot of addicts today, you know, suffer from depression. They can't afford the medication, so they turn to street drugs like heroin and stuff because it's cheaper. And I never hear him talking about it, and I'd like to know what he would think.
Yeah, Carl, I think that's a great question, and I appreciate the fact that the first caller actually had a real question, because I thought we were going to get... And I'm not discouraging anyone who wants to call in with some joke questions, because I would love that too, but that's a really good question. And I think there's a huge stigma with mental health. There always has been. I don't think it's something that gets talked about enough. I think that's a really good point, and that would actually be something where Joe Biden, like Carl said, could speak to it intimately. He knows what it's like to have kids who suffer from mental health issues, so he could actually speak to that. That's a very good point. When we get back on the other side, I'm going to take more of your calls. The question is, you get Joe Biden in a room alone for 5 minutes. What do you ask him? And then when he comes out with a long story about how his father used to look up at the ceiling and... You know, and in Delaware and coal mining, well, how do you get him back on track? You know, you need to have a question that when he gets off track, you can really point it, like a pointed question with a yes or no answer. That's what we want. We'll be back on the other side. 844-500-4242. We're taking calls for the rest of the hour. Don't miss out. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Grace Curley. She's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler and for the boys. I've got to keep the troops entertained.
Looking for my mask. I'm in trouble.
Here in River City.
and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool. We surely got trouble. Right here in River City. Gotta figure out a way to keep the young ones moral after school.
Joe Biden is making his mark. He was on the Today Show. We're going to go through his entire Today Show interview. I know that sounds bad, but we got it in short. It's bite size. All right, guys, that's how we handle this. We do bite size little nuggets so you can hear what you need to know before you go into the weekend. But we're not going to play you long cuts of him because we are not cruel. Let's go to Dan. Dan, you're next with Grace. Go ahead, Dan.
How you doing, Grace? When you listen for the last as many years as I've listened to the media, it's like night and day.
Yeah.
I remember with the media, in the media room, they're screaming and yelling and everybody's cutting in front of other person to try to get a question in and screaming and yelling at the president. I mean, like a circus.
Yeah.
And 2 and 3 and 4 part questions, not little lobbers. You know what I mean? We're talking about, you know, why have you been in collusion with Russia?
Right, right. Why have you? No, it's like this, Dan. Why have you been in collusion with Russia? Why do you hate America so much? Why do you betray all of the people in this country? And why do you hate dogs? And then they'll say, go ahead, answer that. That's the kind of questions they used to ask Trump.
Well, the difficult questions, the complex questions, the trip-up questions. I mean, let's face it, Biden can't handle a one-part question, never mind a 2 or 3-part question. And the toughest one you really want to lob at him is, you know, what is he going to do with the dog and cat while he's away from the White House? I mean, you can't, you know, it's almost like how you treat your feeble grandfather.
Yeah.
You know, you know that he's failing, but you don't want to hurt his feelings, and you just try to keep propping him up to make the guy feel good and worthy and all of that.
And that's why when he answers a question and it doesn't make any sense, and, you know, Peter Alexander asked it, if you go back and watch the video, Peter Alexander's nodding along with a big smile on his face, just like Dan said. He's like, come on, Grandpa, you got it. Look at you go. Oh, wow, nailed that one. You're my hero. It's really sad. It's really sad. And Dan, thank you for the call. I'm going to move on to Chris here just so we can get him in before the end of the hour. Chris, go ahead. You're next with Grace. Go ahead, Chris.
If I was alone with President Biden, I'd sit him down and I'd ask him, Mr. President, could you tell me what drugs they give you before they let you go out into the public?
Great question. Great question. The handlers would be banging on the doors. Get him out of there. And here's the part of it. I'm going to read from this a little bit later, but it's a great piece in The Federalist. And it talks about how he's had this incredibly radical agenda for the first 100 days. And I want people to remember this because I read this and I thought, that's a great point. Biden only captured the White House by less than 43,000 votes across 3 states. With the Senate evenly divided and the House narrowly controlled by the same party. In other words, the American public by no means demanded a fundamental transformation of their country, but that's what they're getting. Half the country feels the same way we do.
The entirety of their party didn't want Kamala Harris, but they got her, and now they're just doing it to all of us.
Exactly. We'll be back on the other side. We'll take more of your calls. And then we got Chris DeGaulle at 1:30. It's Friday, and we have a wonderful show planned for all of you. Don't go anywhere.